I'm Jay.
I'm Adrian.
And together we are
the Two Crazy Cat Ladies.
I'm gonna cut you.
I think I just peed.
Buckle up. We're back in the closet.
Welcome to another episode of Back in the Closet with the Two Crazy Cat Ladies. And today we are joined by another cat lady, if you will.
And seriously, one of the most beautiful.
Dog lady, cat lady, one of our favorite humans on the planet.
Beautiful humans.
The world renowned.
One and only.
Most famous herbalist in the pet world. And one of our favorite humans who happens to be the reason that we're drinking tea instead of alcohol tonight. Rita Hogan. Everybody.
Raise a glass, y'all.
Raise a glass.
Here we go.
Rita Hogan is here with us today to discuss all things shrooms and herbs. I had to say shrooms and herbs instead of mushrooms.
Because it's fun.
Because it's so fun.
It's really better. Shrooms is better.
Yeah.
Shrooms is exactly. Just fun to say.
It's just so much more fun to say.
It is.
So let's
just. Definitely more fun to. It's more fun to say. It's for sure. Let's say it. Shrooms. Mushrooms.
Let's say it together.
Shrooms. Shrooms is better.
Shrooms is better.
It is.
Okay. So. My dear Rita Hogan, for anyone yes. who has never heard of you, ever, has no idea
that
what
lives under a rock.
Lives under a rock. But, you know, I got to say, Rita, not a lot of us cat people know a lot about herbalism.
It's true.
So this is going to be really eye-opening for a lot of people. Would you give everyone just a quick intro, who you are and what this is and why it's so mind-blowing?
And powerful.
Well, I'm a clinical herbalist. I'm a canine herbalist, and I have been definitely dabbling in the feline world because I have fallen head over heels in love with my cats, Carl and Oscar. They are a little bit over a year. I love them beyond. I was just kissing Oscar just a minute ago. I love him so much. I love him and Carl. They're like two little souls that were separated and have found each other. All they do is make out and kiss and sit and hold each other. And yesterday, little Oski was holding Carl's little head like this, and they slept for like, I don't even know, 5 hours, just like this. And just with his little face touched here and his little paws, like, oh my God, I can't stand it. I thank God they're not in my office because I would not get work done.
Ever.
Yeah. So I love them, and they have brought me over to the kitty side.
Yes, yeah.
Which, you know, isn't that different than the dog side, except they're completely different species. So we have to keep some things in mind about kitties, but, you know, I've always had cats. And I'm looking forward to bringing herbs over to the cat side and helping educating you lovely cat lovers on how to use herbs safely and easily with your kitty cats.
Yeah, I'm so excited because it's, you know, like, and Rita, you already know this, but for anybody watching or listening that does not, it's one of the maybe the main reason that we started our business is because, you know, in the natural health world, which we had been in for 10 years prior to starting Two Crazy Cat Ladies, there was nothing about cats. You could find very little to nothing.
Shout out to Dr. Lisa Pearson, though. That actually had the
one veterinarian that posted about raw diets for cats on her website. But as far as herbs, shrooms, supplements, so many, I mean, ailments that we had never even heard of, that we had no idea was a thing because it wasn't a thing in the dog world. It's a thing in the cat world. So much that the cat world is lacking. And I'm so excited for any of you guys. Just stay tuned because we have some exciting stuff happening in the near future with Miss Rita Hogan right now.
There isn't a lot for cats, and you know, you crazy ladies are changing that for sure. And I'm very supportive of that. Our kitties need, you know, our kitties are just they've been down the wrong pipe for a long time. You know, they really have. They've been eating. Like I had a cat today that was eating. Are we allowed to mention cat food? Just okay. So right. They were eating Meow Mix.
Yeah.
and they're in the emergency vet right now with a blockage. Like right now, as we are on here, they are in the emergency vet with a blockage. And I was just like, right before I got on, I was talking to them. I'm like, listen, I got to go remove the blockage. The rest we can deal with. Right. Yeah. So they're going to be switching food tonight. And it's just, you know, I looked at that food and, you know, we've got soy meal, corn gluten meal, animal digest. I mean, it is unreal. Like, cats are obligate carnivores. I mean, you know, we've got them eating peas and all of these different things that they just wouldn't normally eat. You know, I have to tell you, I did catch Carl eating a Brussels sprout.
Yeah. See, you know, veggies aren't bad for cats, right? No. It's just that they don't necessarily require them. But they have so many benefits, just like mushrooms and herbs have so many benefits that even if it's not a part of their daily, you know, balanced diet, it is super beneficial. Friday loves spinach. She loves broccoli. She loves
carrot tops.
Cauliflower.
Anything green.
Anything
just feels it.
Yeah.
Oski and Carl like them too. I mean, they tend to graze on them and they're like, yeah, I'm done. But they, you know, they eat their little bits and then they're ready to go. And I just think that we, you know, we can do better. We can do better.
Let's talk about, you know, you have really changed the world when it comes to herbalism, as far as how we can help all of our companion animals in one way or another. What are some of the things that you see are being neglected when it comes to caring for our cats in this way, things that are beneficial? Like when we think about herbs, what are some of the basics?
Well, you know, I see that we definitely need to start supporting our cats' organ systems. I mean, we all need help on this planet right now with our organ systems, and cats are just the same as anyone else. They need a little loving. And, you know, with herbs, there's a few that I just absolutely love and that, you know, cats love, like, you know, milk thistle is one. You can't really beat it for helping the liver with oxidative stress, liver disease. It has an affinity towards the kidney as well. A lot of people only think of it as a liver remedy, but it's also a kidney remedy. Yes. You know, the leaves can be used for the kidney. The root can be used for the kidney. It really helps protect and like restore the liver when you want to decrease inflammation in the liver, because milk thistle is what's called an alterative, and alterative's slowly help the body become awesome. And they help get rid of wastes. They help bring down toxic load, which is very important. They help with stagnancy in the body. And kitties, a lot of our kitties spend a lot of time in the house, right? Yeah. Right. And so they have a lot more stagnancy than their outside brethren who are busy all day long killing things.
Brethren.
No, yeah. So, you know, we have to be mindful of stagnancy with our indoor kitties and indoor air quality. So we have to be mindful of stagnancy in the lungs, in the liver, in the lymphatic system. And so milk thistle, I think, is a really good one. The another one that I love is nettles. Kitties love nettles. It just is a detoxifier and support. It supports the whole kidney system, but it also supports the kidneys and helps them work better, you know, depending on what part of the nettle that you use. But it balances the water element in the cat. And the water element in the kitty is so much more, I would say, pronounced than in dogs, in that it's very sensitive and they're so dependent on water in general and fluids. So that's blood, plasma, oils. They're so much more, they need so much more of it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have kidney issues because they're dry inside.
Yes.
You know, we have to be very mindful of dryness and hydration with our kitties. And nettles can be a little drying if you give them like a really long time, but when you start them and kind of work them in and out of the diet, they can just do wonders for the kidneys and urinary system. Love it.
Now, where would you get nettles? Would you, like, as far as like nettles, that's not one of those that you like grow on your own, right? Isn't it hard to handle?
Yeah, it'll sting you. It has acid in it in the leaves. It goes away in a little while after you pick it. But for kitties, I just use dried nettles. So you don't have to worry about any of those things. You just use dried nettles. And or I use a glycerin extract or even an alcoholic extract of nettles, because you're only giving like 1 to 2 drops to a cat. I mean, individual drops. There's more alcohol in a banana. So you don't really have to, if you're giving just
more alcohol in a banana.
Yes. Did you know that ripe banana has alcohol in it? You don't taste the alcohol because of the fact that it's got fiber and that banana taste. But yeah, ripe bananas have alcohol in them.
See, this whole month, I thought I was doing dry January, but I've been eating bananas.
Well, as long as you're not eating a really ripe banana, you're okay. but yeah, anything that starts to, fruit ferments. So when it starts to get, when they're black and they're spotted and they're black and they're really kind of mushy, they have alcohol in them. And so with cats, people, freak out about alcohol. I don't. But I'm not using, my maximum dosage for a cat and an alcoholic tincture is 5 single drops. But usually you're using 1 or 2, and that's just 1, 2, just tiny, itsy bitsy. And so we're fine. But otherwise you can use a glycerin extract of nettle, and it's really high in minerals, and it's definitely a tonic. You can make a tea for your little cat and put it on his food if he likes it. Usually if they're low in minerals, which the kidney needs minerals to function correctly. And that's the issue with kitties, is that they don't get enough minerals. And so when kidneys get enough minerals, kidneys work well, they filter the blood well. And so that's part of that stagnancy when they can't filter the blood that they need to. And also when the bladder is inflamed or the uterus are inflamed, the urinary tract also gets a lot of inflammation, and we have to be mindful of that. So nettles brings down inflammation in the body, and we love that. Turmeric can be given to cats. That's also a good anti-inflammatory. That's for more of your kind of cats that like warmth. The cats that love to sit on the heating pad, they're constantly seeking out warmth. I think that as a species, there's more kind of cool cats than there are hot cats. So turmeric is nice. It's a good anti-inflammatory if they will take it. I tend to use a extract of turmeric because it's really hard to get cats to take turmeric. Mm-hmm. It's not one of my go-to herbs. Yeah. But speaking of go-to herbs, catnip. Now, catnip we often look at catnip like, oh, it's catnip. Cats love it. It's just, it makes them high, whatever, but as an herbalist, catnip is a huge, I would say, kind of advocate for the nervous system in cats. And the nervous system, there's an emotional component to everything that goes wrong with cats. And we always want to stabilize their nervous system first. And with house cats especially, catnip can help them calm down, not be so reactive to their environment, where they're, keeping an eye on everything. And it helps them calm down, and it helps them relieve tension. And that's one of the best things we can do for our cats, is help them relieve tension.
This is so brilliant. We have known this. I'm so glad. I mean, the universe works so amazingly, but I have not thought about catnip. So on Monday, the contractors are coming over, and the house is going to be under construction for 2 weeks. And we are freaking out about what we're going to do with the cats, how we're going to keep them calm, where are we going to put them where they don't fight in the same room, how are we going to keep them away from danger or the doors opening and jetting out. Catnip. We have ample amounts of catnip in this house. And I haven't thought for a second that we need to lay down catnip.
Yes.
Wherever they are. Thank you, Rita.
Yeah, it's definitely the after work cocktail for cats. Yes. It is. It's that it relieves stress and nervousness, and it calms the nervous system. And I will give you the trifecta for your cats that you're having construction. You start out the morning with aconite, or maybe the go-to from Adored Beast. Okay. Start that out, because the stress will build inflammation. So the arnica is nice and the aconite will help with fear. I would give aconite probably 2 to 3 times a day. Then layer it with Rescue Remedy. Same thing. You can give it just at pretty much the same time. And then catnip all day long. Just let them just get it out. And they won't fight.
Love.
Be nice and relaxed. But those three can work together and just really awesome. And here is another thing. If your cat is always scratching and has itchy skin, you can make a catnip tea and just pour it over their body. You know, if you have to have an oven mitt, that's fine. But, you know, hold them with the oven mitt along the chest here and then have someone else go on the back and just and then let them go.
Yeah.
Or you can use a little sprayer if they'll let you spray. But a lot of cats don't like that.
Yeah. Most cats don't like to be sprayed.
What was the bit about the oven mitt?
Oh, I always, if I have a cat, I put my oven mitts on. I have these ones that come up to here. I don't like to be bit or scratched, and I have oven mitts. If I have to give a cat a bath or something, I will wear oven mitts.
Do your kitties, Oscar or Carl bite or scratch?
No. In fact, we trim their nails like every week we trim their nails. They're so good about it. They just sit there and let us trim their nails. We trim their front paws. We just, you know, clip off the really, really sharp parts. Yeah. And then, no, they've been really good. They've been really good, but they have not received a bath.
Yeah.
Oh, they probably don't need one.
Yeah. I don't see, they give each other a bath.
Yeah.
But like, if you have a cat that has like really bad skin issues, yeah. A catnip tea bath is very lovely.
That's crazy.
You know, and you can also take with cats, you know, I've been thinking about applications with cats, like getting cats to do things that dogs easily do, right? You could take like, you know, those lovely little pads, cotton pads that you wipe your face with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you could take cotton pads and just dip them in catnip, liquid catnip, right? And just pat on the skin.
Yeah.
I think that would be good. That way, you know, patting them doesn't seem to be terrible. They don't seem to hate that. I've never really tried it, but when I touch my cats like this, they don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to put water on them. It would be more of a pity pat cat.
A pity pat cat.
Can you repeat that trifecta real quick? Because I'm sure there's people jumping on that are realizing.
The trifecta. So the trifecta of fear, of cats having fear. One, I think we have to calm ourselves and not make a big deal. Yes. Like, and tell them, you know, I find talking to animals in normal sentences, just to be like, listen, these guys aren't here to harm you. You're not going to be hurt. Your daily routine is going to be upset for 2 weeks. We're working as fast as we can. And this is what we're going to do. You know,
we shouldn't use the regular cat voice. It's okay.
Oh God.
Don't act any different. Just don't act any different. Be like, this is what we're going to do. Okay, everyone's getting a little squirt of aconite. And if you can't get your dog, a cat, a squirt, take it and squirt it right. Don't touch it, the homeopathic. Get it like a swab and put it in their ear and just kind of rub it around the insides of their ears. You can put it on their ears. You know, I'm quick. I just go, we're done. But Rescue Remedy. And you could probably mix it all together if you want to do, if you're good for one, like squeeze of a plastic dropper, put it in a shot glass, put it all together, suck it up and in the mouth. If you're good with one, you know, all you usually have is one shot. So you got one shot and then, you know, do it twice, three times a day. If they're freaking out, you can use the aconite as much as you want, but, you know, the Rescue Remedy, you can use as much as you want. You can even give a catnip tea and put it in there, like along with that other liquid solution, just shoop. That's going to be really good. The one thing about catnip is you do not need to infuse it. It's highly water soluble. You do not need to infuse it probably more than 3 minutes.
So could you tell us really quickly how to make, like, what's the ratio? How would you make cat tea? And would you use a French press?
Catnip tea.
So for a cat, I would just add a teaspoon of catnip. Okay. Dried catnip. And you can make fresh, but dried catnip's fine. A teaspoon of dried catnip to, I would say, 4 ounces of water. Just mix it in, strain it, and use that liquid. It lasts for like a day.
Awesome. Excellent. Awesome. Let it cool, obviously, before.
Yeah, let it cool. Let it cool. Yeah, don't give them to it very hot.
That's awesome. And also fine. You know, we've still yet to ever make catnip tea, even though we've done cat tips about it. We've never made catnip tea. We haven't had a purpose, I guess.
Yeah, it's wonderful for the nervous system. Wonderful.
But I wonder if we put it down like just like as like a separate water dish, if they would lick it, if they would drink it.
I don't know. They might. I've never tried that either. But, you know, like if you think about yourself and you're completely stressed out, right? Just stressed out. And if you have something that just calms you right down, you know, you can't do much when you're really at a high level. But when you are able to calm your nervous system down and have access to your entire like vagus nerve and all your central nervous system, and you're just like, you know, you can release tension.
Yeah.
But you can't release tension when you're all amped up.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so it's just a really wonderful nervine. It's great for the nervous system.
That's awesome. We could have little tea parties with our cats.
Oh my gosh. What have you started, Rita? You are literally.
I know. I'm just a trendsetter. God.
You really are. Hey, can I throw a couple questions at you?
Yes.
Okay. So in the comments, let me see. Is powdered milk thistle, in your opinion, better than tincture with alcohol or glycerin? A powdered milk thistle.
Alcohol and
kidneys.
It's a little different. The liquid is going to go right into the bloodstream. And it's good for cats that, like, if you're not sure they're assimilating correctly. But if you're giving powdered milk thistle for kind of like you want to do it for a few weeks and just give your cat some milk thistle or after surgery, the powder is fine.
Okay.
And you're going to get milk thistle seed. But like a lot of the milk thistle that you're buying on like in commerce is going to be, it's going to be standardized. You know, it's like the milk thistle you would give if your cat had high liver enzymes.
Okay.
I would use something else, but like you can use the milk thistle for high liver enzymes. You have to give quite a bit more where a tincture or an extract would just be a few drops. But I can tell you that milk thistle doesn't do that well in glycerin.
Really?
Yeah. So there are, you can find milk thistle glycerin extracts anywhere, like lots of places. However, it doesn't mean it works that well. Some herbs just don't extract in glycerin. They need an alcoholic extraction, like calendula, milk thistle's one of them. And so what some companies will do is they'll extract it in alcohol and then they'll burn off the alcohol and then preserve it in water and glycerin. So it just depends on how it's made. I find that the Animal Essentials milk thistle glycerin is pretty good.
Okay.
Great.
Awesome.
And did you just say for elevated liver enzymes, you would not use milk thistle?
Oh, no. I mean, I would. You can. But as an herbalist, I would use something more individual to the kitty. But that would be a different conversation.
Yes, it would.
Gotcha.
I would try the milk thistle first, though. That would be my first attempt for high liver enzymes.
Sweet. I do want to, do you have more questions?
We've got a couple coming in the comments here. So go ahead, though.
Well, I wanted to talk about mushrooms too, since we're on the subject.
Let's talk about mushrooms.
Oh, hold on though, because I'm curious about this as well. Here's another great question. Would it be possible for the speaker the one and only Rita Hogan.
I'm a speaker.
Yes. Yeah. To talk about Moringa plant for cats. Are you familiar with Moringa?
Yes, I am familiar with your Moringa.
We've got a smart one in the audience.
What are your
here,
thoughts?
I've never heard of it.
Would you ask if she is actually giving her cat, Moringa? Or is she thinking about giving her cat Moringa?
And La Tierra, are you giving it to your kitty, or are you thinking about giving it to your kitty? Here you are.
Yes. That's what you got
from Coco Therapy Girls. We're talking about
for us.
Yeah. They were talking about all the benefits of Moringa plant, and we have some.
But we've never given it to the cats. I started giving it.
Moringa is, it's very like dark green. It's really a good antioxidant. Okay. It's warming. That's something you need to know about it, that it does add heat to the body. It's basically called a superfood because it's really high in vitamins and minerals. I think it's got good B vitamins. It's got natural folate, which is important. And it's got, the trace, the magnesium, the iron, it's got a full array of macro vitamins in general, like phosphorus and then, zinc, a trace mineral. So a lot of people like it. It's really great at keeping away colds and stuff like that, but it has a good amino acid, it's got essential and non-essential amino acids. Okay. So that's really important in general. It's an anti-inflammatory, it's an antioxidant. And if something's an antioxidant, it's going to be good for the liver. It definitely brings down pain. I mean, these are a lot of the things it does. It is autoimmune friendly. Okay, so some herbs are not autoimmune friendly, and a catnip is, but it's autoimmune friendly, which is important. And it has quercetin. It does have quercetin, so you can use it for like allergies or itching and things like that.
Why? She said she's been giving it for like 2 days and she noticed that they noticed that the
senior cat is now more active.
Yeah. And that's most likely from the antioxidant content of it. Because anytime you give the liver some love, you're going to see more activity.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So that is
a great question about Moringa. I mean, it's great. I've got some in my cupboard.
I know, we do too. I need to start putting it back in our coffee. For the aconite, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the recommended homeopathic dosage? I see Lynn's, hi Lynn's, and someone else was asking.
You can do like a couple of pellets if you can get that in the mouth, or I would probably do a wet dose. So I take like maybe 4 pellets, put it in a little bottle. Put some water in there and shake it up and then give a dropper of that water.
30 C?
30 C, 200 C, either one. You can even do 12 C if there's lots of fright going on and you can use that like acutely. And Adored Beast has that spray, the go-to, not a spray, but a, kind of drips in the mouth. That's the aconite and Arnica that I used for my dog who had a seizure, and it worked like that. And I used it for a woman who had a seizure last week, which is nuts.
Wow.
That sounds like a whole new thing.
Yeah, wow. It's a conversation, but it's true. She was having a grand mal seizure. She was blue and she would not stop seizing. We were going on like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I shoved that in her mouth, squeezed 4 times, and she stopped within like 10 seconds.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was great. But, that was something, but, I did it with my dog who had a seizure too. I just put it in her mouth and she stopped. So,
wow.
Did you know this woman before you shoved it in her mouth?
She was my mom's caregiver and she had a grand mal seizure in our kitchen last week.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. It was super fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Good time.
If you're going to have
the cats were like, I had to put him in the bedroom. Oscar wanted to know what was going on. He was going up, wanted to go up and give her a sniff.
Yeah,
we had to get all the cats and dogs out of the way. Yeah, no, but I was so glad I had the aconite. I was like, oh, thank God.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Next quick question, which I think is going to kind of
lead
us in from herbs as well into mushrooms, but
the shrooms.
Into the shrooms. So Liz had a cat that had a tumor removed, and it was cancerous. And she is wondering what kind of herbs or products to give that can help prevent cancer.
Okay, so with cancer, there's a few things to think about. There's stress. There's always stress involved in almost all cancers. There's an emotional component. So we want to deal with a cat's emotional system and nervous system. So we want to do that. So any type of things that can help calm them or deal with fear or anxiety or even grief is good. And then we want to give them lots of antioxidants for their liver, because cancer is toxicity. And you can think of the emotional component as emotional toxicity, right? So is toxicity. So we want to give the liver some love. You know, moringa is good. And then we want to modulate the immune system. And that's where mushrooms are very good at that. Instead of stimulating the immune system, which we do like to do during with cancer, we want to modulate it. And that means that we are taking in something that helps our immune system do what the body needs it to do.
Right.
And that can be very specific to each cat. So giving herbs for cancer is great, and mushrooms as well. And you can mix them together. You know, you definitely want to support the liver. You want to support the kidneys, but you also want to support the lymphatics, that whole thing about stagnation, right? You want to get things moving. And so calendula is great for that. And there's also a mushroom that helps with, I would say, the lymphatic system and getting it moving. And that is oyster mushroom. Oyster mushroom helps get things moving. And there are so many mushrooms, you know. Some of my favorite for cats in general are, I like chaga mushroom for cancer. It's one of the mushrooms I use for cancer. And then reishi mushroom is just wonderful. It is a slightly warming mushroom. It increases the modulation of the immune system. It helps with stress. It's an adaptogen. It helps calm things down, right? And it helps with, it has really high beta-glucan content. So we use the fruiting body of the reishi. You can also use the mycelium if it's nice and clean, which is really hard to get without growing it yourself, kind of. But reishi is nice antifungal, antibacterial. It's super high in antioxidants, which is what you need for cancer. It's also antihistamine, which sometimes animals can have histamine-related cancers. I don't know what kind of cancer it was positive for, but it helps protect the liver. It helps support the liver. And again, it modulates that immune system. And there's these lovely little things in the body called NK cells. They're called natural killer cells. And so we want to up that. And I can probably tell you, if your cat got cancer, it's most likely low in vitamin D. So you'd want to get those vitamin D levels checked. And most likely they are below. And know this, that when you get your animal's vitamin D levels checked, the lab has a level of vitamin D that they're happy with. Take that level and times it by 2.
Really?
That's where kitty should be at. Like, they're happy with levels. Most people labs are happy with levels for humans in the 40s, middle 40s. And human, especially us women, our vitamin D levels should be in the 80 to 90 percentile, which can take some doing.
Yeah.
And spend so much time in our homes. So, cancer and vitamin D are intricately linked. I know, like, I'm a cancer survivor. When I had cancer, my vitamin D level was 18%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now you actually cured yourself of cancer.
I did have surgery, but I did nothing else. I used mushrooms and herbs.
That's what I was going to say. You used exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
Shrooms and herbs.
I had my tumor removed. But other than that, I didn't opt for the chemo or the radiation. And that was in 2017. So I'm doing good.
Yeah, you're
doing it.
You're doing it.
But yeah, so you got to modulate that immune system. But the biggest change that I made besides the mushrooms and herbs in my cancer was stress. So yeah. I was a stressed out mess. I worked too much. I cared about everyone but myself. I mean, you know, I was, you know, that care, what is it called? The caretaker attitude, the caretaker, you know, I was very much a caretaker and I had to do a 360 and I had to get rid of my stress and I had to build resiliency, which is basically saying that you have to change how you react to when life changes.
Yeah.
You just have to react differently when you have life changes. And yeah. I think that that's a great, like Reishi, let's just talk about that. So Reishi is an adaptogen like ashwagandha. Reishi is a very mild adaptogen. It's lovely for cats. I find cats to be very susceptible to mushroom and plant medicine. They're very sensitive creatures. So you absolutely, in my opinion, need less medicine. But Reishi is an adaptogen, which means that it helps kitties, people, dogs, cats, horses adapt to changes much better. So, you know, if you've got a big change coming up, and we have to look at ourselves in order to look at our cats. So we have to look at how we're reacting. How much stress do we have? Are we running around the house all stressed out? You know, our cats can smell it. They can smell it. You know, I know my cats can smell my stress. And I'm not even in the same building with them. So we have to mind ourselves and be really concerned about how we're dealing with stress. And then, you know, how are our cats dealing with our stress? And and I know that when I'm less stressed, everyone in the house is doing so much better.
It's so true. And I have to say, Rita, and thank you, because one of the side effects that we just did not realize was going to be a part of dry January, but one of the side effects of not drinking alcohol is that our stress levels are so much lower, and the same amount, if not more, in fact, with all the construction and like stuff happening, the same amount of stuff going on, the same amount of meetings, the same amount of, you know, things in life that busyness that we
deadlines.
Typically are just always really stressed about. And we're taking it so much better, and our cats
and we're
are
taking
noticeably calmer.
And we're also taking our mushrooms as well. Speaking of mushrooms, can we ask you another question?
Yeah.
From our beautiful community here.
I love
Amber has a beautiful kitty named Cricket, and I'm in love with Cricket. She asked, can you use powdered mushrooms instead of tinctures? And how do you figure out how much to give? Are there any medicinal mushrooms that are not good for cats?
I haven't come across a medicinal mushroom that is not good for cats. So that's that. And there are so many mushrooms out there, right? So, but of the commercially available mushrooms, so, you know, you're looking at tremella, you're looking at reishi, turkey tail, chaga, maitake, artist conch, reishi, red belted conch,
cordyceps.
Cordyceps, you got to be careful with cordyceps. So cordyceps is really hot. It's very stimulating. It can make your cat pee in places you don't want them to.
Oh.
So you have to be really, like, you know, it makes dogs hump a lot, male dogs. They'll hump, you know, usually that's a dosage thing. So you got to bring down the dosage, or it's just too hot and stimulating for your individual cat, mm-hmm. right? You know, Brian, the cat, can take cordyceps. Well, you know, Wilbur, the cat, cannot, you know, Wilbur humps everything when he's on cordyceps. So it's just, you know, cats are individuals. So you have to just kind of see what's going on there. But that is one caution for cordyceps. It's much better, in my opinion, in a formula. Than by itself. So It's just anything that's really stimulating. And cordyceps, I definitely find that of the commercially available mushrooms out there, cordyceps is very stimulating. But so, and what was the other half of the question, Adrian?
Oh, it was about the our powdered mushrooms.
Powdered or liquid, which is there a better or as far as absorption?
I think that liquid mushrooms are better absorbed. I always used, like when I had cancer, I used a blend of powdered and liquid because I wanted some of the other constituents that are in the powder that have a hard time getting a lot of in the liquid. For cats, I think liquid is great. You can do a blend of, you know, if your cat will eat a powdered mushroom, you want to get a hot water extract, and realmushrooms.com is like the best place to get that. I also sell those on my site, but like Real Mushrooms is a good place to get the powdered because they're hot water extracted and they need to be. Besides, like lion's mane is 100% water soluble, so you don't necessarily have to hot water extract them. Gotcha. Like you can eat them and still get all the medicinal components, whereas the other mushrooms you cannot. If it's right. Just ground mushroom, you're going to get good prebiotics and some fiber. But the liquid mushrooms for cats, I think is great. And how much do you give? So it depends on what you're doing. Like if you're just supporting the ecosystem of your cat, then you can just, you know, follow the directions on the bottle. If it's geared towards cats, I think you guys have some mushrooms, correct?
Yeah.
So you would just use the dosage that's on the package. But I would start out at a quarter dose and work your way up slowly to see how your cat does on it. Mm-hmm. Because the dosage on a package is just general. We got to put something on there, right? I do a lot of formulating, so we got to put something on there. But I always start out at a quarter dose of anything new and work my way up slowly. So, yeah. You know, a quarter, you know, then a half, then three quarters, you know, then a full milliliter, if that's what that is. But like for cancer, cancer needs a hammer. Okay. Yes. It needs a hammer. You're not going to do much by just you're not going to stimulate the body to heal. It needs to hammer. So it can give you a bigger window to work with because, you know, with a life-threatening disease, the window closes, it starts closing, you know, and we want to open that window a little more so that we can get some room to move around and hammer it out. And I'm not saying like, you know, from a cancer perspective, just remember this, that it's not something you need to beat. It's not something that you need to kill. It's you're talking about the cells of your cat, or if you have cancer, you're talking about you. It's part of you. What you need to do is figure out what the cause is and deal with the emotional self and the physical. But the physical, it's a hammer. So, you know, you need a lot. So for a cat, I would be giving probably cat, well, the average, what does the average cat weigh, ladies?
Let's say 10 pounds.
10 pounds.
10 pounds? Okay. So an average cat, I would probably be giving a half a gram twice a day. That would be a gram of mushrooms
every day.
Powder. Yeah. You're not going to overdose your cat on mushrooms.
No.
It's going to be really hard to overdose your cat on mushrooms. You know, a human, I'd like to see them eating a lot. I mean, just grams and grams and grams and grams of it for that type of immune modulation and protection that you need when you're creating, you know, cancerous cells. You know, those cells are not healthy cells. They're malignant cells. They're cells that are wackadoo. And we want the body to stop creating those cells.
Right. But
most cancer is already in everyone. We've all got cancer cells in us, right? And all of our fancy tests at the vet can only detect cancer tumors that are a certain centimeter, right? We have tumors in us that are much, 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 much smaller. And what happens is there's something that happens that turns that on, right? And mushrooms can help keep a lock on that switch. Because of the adaptogenic qualities because of, and I speak the same with lots of herbs, you know, because they're doing things in the body that we're not even aware of, but when they bring down stress and they help organ function, it's just a win-win.
Yeah. It's crazy to me that really, when you look at history, herbs and mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms, have been used for thousands of years. And prior to, you know, Western medicine, it was the go-to and worked successfully for so long. And now people are like, oh, that's woo-woo because my doctor doesn't say do it or my vet doesn't say use it. But it's been, I mean, it's been proven to work for so long.
Well, and the thing is, Jay, is we're so disconnected from nature right now. Mm-hmm. Like people are afraid of nature. And, you know, yeah, nature can kill you, but so can walking across the street. Right. Do you know what I'm saying? We can't live our lives in fear. I mean, literally walking across the street can't kill you if someone is coming from nowhere and going to run you down. So, but like people are so afraid of nature. I was forced to watch regular commercials, watching some football this past. I was just a spectator. I wasn't actually actively watching. I was doing something else, but my partner was watching football. And I had to listen to regular pharmaceutical commercials. And this is the thing. People are afraid of herbs. However, if they use this one pharmaceutical, they need to watch out for life-threatening infections, certain types of cancers, blood clots. You know, they list all at the end of the pharmaceuticals commercials, all these horrible things that might happen to you.
Yes.
And this is for psoriasis, right? Psoriasis. I said to myself, I'll take the psoriasis. Because I'll tell you, rare cancers can happen. And a pharmaceuticals, you know, they've saved my antibiotics has saved my life once in my life. Surgery saved my life when I had cancer. You know, I couldn't reduce my tumor size in the window that I had when I found out, right? It saved my life. However, modern medicine is not good at prolonging life, a quality life.
Right.
It doesn't do much for longevity, and it does nothing for prevention, disease prevention. It doesn't look at diet or anything. And that's just how, you know, it was set up. So that's just, it's nothing to do with the doctors. It's not their fault. And then, you know, you got the 15 minutes that they get to see you for, or the 15 minute vet appointment, you know, 15 minutes. It's all we got. So, you know, we need to take the time to get to know what's going on with ourselves. And we need to take the time to get back to our innate relationship with nature.
Yeah. You know?
There are herbs that can kill you and kill your cat for sure. I'm not going to say that. There are herbs that you do not use, but
in mushrooms
type of amount, you know.
There are mushrooms too that you don't want to just
absolutely. Don't go mushroom hunting. Do not do that without someone that knows what they're doing. But I use non-toxic herbs with cats, stuff that I don't necessarily have to worry too much about. And then there's, you know, your more toxic herbs like golden seal and things like that, that I still use, but it's all about dosage. You don't use it and length of time. And so, you know, we're going to get together and we are going to educate you lovely folks on using herbs with cats more and more as time goes by.
Yes.
A quick question. This has been asked a few times. So people are asking, and thank you, Lynn, for bringing it back. Does Rita work with clients one-on-one or is she booked for months?
I do work with clients one-on-one. I am booked for a little while. I do have some alternatives to that. I have a lovely little service on my website, canineherbalist.com, called Ask the Herbalist. You can ask me questions and I will give you answers to your questions.
Link is in the description.
What?
Link is in the description.
Yeah, link is in the description. And I have what are like, I'm just thinking about kitties. I do work with kitties, but I do have about 8 really good herbalists that I work with that I have trained myself over a period of 4.5 years every Thursday we met. So they're very well trained that I refer people out to when I can't handle the case, when I can't get to it. I triage, you know, if you need someone right away, I refer you out. And they're all lovely. And I also have an intern that I work with. So I look at all those protocols that I do through her. She does the protocol. I look at it, make sure it's sound, everything's good. You know, she learns and then the person gets served and has a great experience. But yes, so that's kind of how it goes right now. But we are out to get you guys some skills that you can use and learn how to use these lovely little plants and mushrooms with your kitties.
Yes. Oh, gosh, guys, you have to stay tuned to this because it's going to be, and I mean, this, we're talking this year, 2024 is going to be amazing for the kitty world. It's just going to be amazing.
It is going to be a good world.
And it's going to be, and products that are going to be available to you guys. Oh, absolutely amazing. The link to check out Rita's website is in the description here, as well as the link to check out our mushroom tinctures, mushroomsforcats.com.
When it comes to a cancer with kitties, the powder, you would do a gram for kitties. Do you know what that would translate to for?
I don't. It depends on the formula. Okay. It depends on the formula or if you're using a single mushroom. I do know that, you know, the dosages on most tinctures for mushrooms are not going to be cancer dosages.
Right.
For cancer, I would work myself up to the highest dose my cat could handle.
Yeah.
And you'll know when they can't handle. They'll start like puking bile or they will have acid reflux. And mushrooms can be hard on the stomach. So you want to work your way up slowly.
Yeah.
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 To see how much your cat can tolerate.
Yeah. Well, and it's how much really they'll tolerate in their food. Cause you know, you can put like a few drops of stuff in the whatever supplement, right? Or herbs or anything. You can put a few drops of something or a little bit of powder and usually you can mask that up and cats will eat it. But if you increase it, if you increase too much and it's like, hey, would you like some food with that supplement? Then your cat might reject it. So
let them enjoy a meal.
Enjoying the
meal. I love, Judith said just exactly what you're talking about, Rita. Make the shift to proactive instead of reactive.
Yeah. Reactive medicine, but it's like if we're being proactive, we'll need it very little or less or none at all.
And if you check your vitamin D levels, vitamin D is a fat soluble vitamin and it keeps you from getting viruses. It keeps you from getting cancer. It is it's a master vitamin in your body. And so many people and animals are low in it. So
yep.
I always recommend everyone get their cats checked for vitamin D.
And that's the only way to check that is a blood test, right?
No, you can do a hair and saliva test, can't you?
Yes, you can. You can do a hair and saliva and you could also do a blood.
That's fantastic.
Depending on what lab is doing the hair and saliva. So depending on what methods they're using it to check the vitamin D.
And just because I know, like sometimes I'm one of these people, if it's like, oh, well, you're probably deficient in this vitamin, I'll just take like a ton of them. Vitamin D is fat soluble. So
it's not water soluble. So you don't want
to. It's fat soluble and it needs to be taken with vitamin K. So I don't find there's anything on the market. I'm thinking
for cats.
For cats. Per se, but there's a company called Seeking Health. And I sell this one on my website, but you can get it right at their website. And it's a vitamin D with K combo in olive oil. What you'd want to do, what I would do if I was giving it to a cat, I would take that 1 ounce bottle. I would buy a 2 ounce bottle. Okay. I would pour the 1 ounce bottle of the vitamin D with K in that 2 ounce bottle. And then I would fill it up again. I'd fill up the rest of it with olive oil so that you're only getting 500 micrograms of vitamin D instead of 1,000.
Oh, very, very smart.
Because I believe it's 1,000 per drop. So you wouldn't want to give a cat 1,000 per drop. unless you check that vitamin D and it's super, super low. Right. I would give 500 milligrams. So I would just dilute it with olive oil.
Wow.
That's,
you are so, so brilliant.
There's so much gratitude coming in. People saying, thank you. Thank you so much. You really are such a gift to everyone, anyone that comes in contact with you.
It's true.
We're so grateful for your time. And I love you. You are such a beautiful human, literally having appointments right up into the moment that you're jumping on our podcast. And I just, you know, you just constantly are doing good things. So we're so grateful for you.
Yes.
Again, the link is in the description for everyone that is now ready to go down the Rita rabbit hole. Let's go.
And link stay tuned because she has more stuff coming for kitties in this year and the very near future. So we're very excited to be a part of this. And we're just so grateful that you joined us today, Rita. Thank you.
Anything we didn't talk about that we that's top of mind that there's just so much. Was there anything that we missed?
Anything that we didn't talk about. I mean, we didn't go through a lot of herbs and everything. I will tell you this. If you ever feel like your cat has swallowed something that they cannot get out of their body, use slippery elm liquid, like make a gruel. Just add water to powdered slippery elm and make like this a gruel. Take a syringe and shoot it down their throat. It will coat whatever they ate, and you'll be just keep on giving it to them maybe three times that day. It will coat whatever they eat, and then they'll poop it out.
Look at that little gem of information.
You guys, did you? Let's
write it down. Can we make a cat tip on that?
Let's write it down. If your cat has eaten something that they probably shouldn't have, correct? You say it again. You're the expert.
If their cat has eaten something they shouldn't have, make a thick liquid with slippery elm and warm water. Just put the powder in there, just a little bit of powder, and then add water until it gets thick. You can add more slippery elm if you need to. Get a plastic syringe and some oven mitts. Shove it down their throat. Squeeze. You know, get a little at a time, little at a time, right? And they could probably do a couple mils at a time, like a mil and then give it a second, and then another mil, give it a second. It will coat whatever they have eaten, and they're more apt to poop it out. Now, if they're barfing and can't poop at the same time, they need to go to the vet, but they're more apt to poop it out. And another thing, the milk thistle seed, right? If your dog, your cat has ever eaten something poisonous that you think they've eaten it, you know, like, oh God, they ate that, right? You give them milk thistle until you get them to the vet. Just keep on giving it to them.
Wow.
So like the animal essentials, milk thistle or a milk thistle glycerate, or not, you don't keep on giving them an alcoholic tincture, but like if you can get the milk thistle seed in a glycerate, just keep giving it to them until you get them to the vet, because it's going to help protect the liver.
Wow.
You are. Absolutely. I'm so glad I asked that question. I always wonder when we finish up, wrap up a podcast, like what did we miss? Right. Two life-saving tips right there.
Right there. Everybody write it down. And we're going to now make cat tips about them.
Yeah, because
that was just a jewel of information. So thank you. Thank you, Rita. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
And we will be back very soon. When's the next time we're back? I don't know. We've got construction happening very soon, so it might be a second before you
see it. Posted in the stories.
But yeah, we'll keep you posted in our stories. We love you guys so much.
Love you, Rita. Thanks for joining
us. Bye.